Hello and welcome to Tantrum Hour Report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Friday, September 24th. Coming up on today's show, we chat with Town of Sackville Recreation Director Matt Pride about the recent decision by town management to cancel the popular fall fair this year. And today is another Global Climate Strike Day. Student organizers with DevEst Mount A are inviting people to gather at 10:30 a.m. in the academic quad outside the R.P. Bell Library on the Mount A campus to make themselves heard about climate change. Organizer Kate DeRoche dropped by CHMA Studios to share a bit more about today's protest, and that's coming up. And as a special Friday treat, we promise to leave you with something new from Sackville's own Julie Doiron. But first, some local news and information. Students are back at Tantramar High again today after being home twice this week due to COVID cases in the community. Port Elgin Regional School remains on distance learning again today due to the number of students and staff that are isolating. Both schools had second confirmed cases on Wednesday and went to online learning Thursday. Anglophone East School District also announced that the K-8 Shediac Cape School will move to online learning for today. A service to commemorate the lives of the Sears family of Amherst will be held today at 1 p.m. in Victoria Square in Amherst. R.J. Sears, Michelle Robertson, and their four children were killed in a tragic camper fire and discovered on September 13th in Millvale, Nova Scotia. Everyone attending the memorial must show proof of vaccination and identification and wear a mask. The service will also be live-streamed and available on CFTA. On Wednesday, we spoke with local parent Emily Austin about long delays for COVID test appointments and results. The situation didn't seem to be better today, but we do have an update from Public Health about a possible solution that Austin mentioned in her interview: rapid test kits for at-home use. As we mentioned Wednesday, rapid test kits are already widely available for small to medium businesses to use for their employees, but they are not yet available for families experiencing school and daycare closures. That could change, says New Brunswick Department of Health spokesperson Bruce McFarlane. Discussions are currently underway, he says, on the possible use of rapid tests for K-12 schools and childcare facilities. And in fact, rapid tests are in use at one high school in the province. McFarlane says a testing program was set up earlier this week at Southern Victoria High School in Perth Andover for students who have not been able to book a test through an assessment center. Mount Allison has unveiled a new artwork by Mi'kmaq artist Loretta Gould. The work is one of a series of artworks commissioned by the Owens Art Gallery and Mount A's Office of Indigenous Affairs. The painting is titled Prayers for Our Lost Children and serves as a poignant reminder of the impact of Canada's residential school system on Indigenous people and their families. Gould is a Mi'kmaq quilter and painter who loves bright, beautiful colors. She's a self-taught artist who grew up in the Wekaba First Nation. The painting is currently on display outside the Office of Indigenous Affairs in the Wallace McCain Student Center. Levee on the Lake has been nominated for two Music New Brunswick Awards in 2021. After its first year in 2020, the Silver Lake-based music festival garnered Event of the Year at the East Coast Music Awards. And now the second year of the festival could prove to be an award winner as well. The fest is up for Innovator of the Year as well as Event or Festival of the Year. Saturday is the last chance to see exhibitions by artist Alina Maruni, Annie Francis Noel, and Kaylee Cook at the Struts Gallery. The exhibitions are part of The Living is Easy, a professional development program for Struts Gallery members. Participating artists are invited to use gallery space to stage or document work, install an exhibit, or generally experiment with their work in the space. Struts Gallery is open today and Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Sackville residents got some sad news on Wednesday that the long-awaited return of the fall fair would be postponed another year. The town announced the cancellation of this year's festivities on social media amidst announcements of schools and daycares closing due to COVID-19 cases and the Drew Nursing Home in the throes of an outbreak. I called up Sackville's Recreation Director Matt Pride shortly after the announcement to find out a bit more about what went into the decision.
Matt Pride, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You shared some disappointing news with the town on Wednesday. The fall fair is canceled for this year. I'm sure that was a tough decision How did you feel about it?
Well, it's been, it was definitely a tough decision. We sat down as a management team earlier this morning and discussed it, and it was a pretty somber conversation. But at the end of the day, with COVID cases rising here locally, we felt like right now was not the most appropriate time to, you know, deliberately create a gathering, whether it be inside or outside. So at the end of the day, it was the best thing for us to do to keep our residents safe.
In terms of the COVID cases in Sackville, does the town get information from public health about, like, sort of more specifics about what's happening? Do you know, do you have further information on other exposures or closures that are happening?
No, we don't have anything like that. We know the same information as everybody else in town, but it is a small town, so word gets around. And so we were aware of the closures and the numbers rising at the Drew, and the same information that everybody else has.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And that's the two schools, the daycare, the Drew, and as far as we know, that's about it. There's no exposure notices for town.
So we knew about Fort Elgin and the high school, and there was a case at Mount Allison, but there wasn't a closure there. Whoever that case was somebody who hadn't been around other people, so there wasn't a closure there, from my understanding.
And then were you aware of the daycare Wiggles and Giggles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you? This is a difficult thing. I gather it must have been a difficult decision for you, and there's probably, you know, yourself included, I'm sure there's a number of people that have been working pretty flat out on the fall fair planning. Who are those staff people that, you know, are sort of really taking one for the team here?
Yeah, there's a lot of us that have bits and pieces to do with fall fair, but there's three of us that are kind of the core organizers. So there's myself, Deanna Cadman, and Angela Hasty. So, it's been tough with the province announcing new restrictions over the last week or so. We've basically organized this festival three separate times, and now we're deorganizing it. So it feels like we've done this four times in the last week and a half. And so it's been a lot of work and stress and, disappointment on our side as well. But again, it's the best thing we can do.
The new vaccine passport rules that came into effect Wednesday would have affected the plans had they gone ahead, and you had already started to make a number of changes for that. And then this is all shut down. Is there anything salvageable from this? Are there things that can be postponed, or is there any way that you can sort of make something out of what's left, I guess?
We've been talking to, I spoke with the fireworks provider today, and so we're going to look at something later in the fall once hopefully things die down a little bit with COVID. In terms of the parade or the family day or any of those bigger ticket items, there's not much we can do other than maybe add some of the vendors to the Moonlight Madness events later in the fall. The music for the tent, we're basically just pushing ahead for next year and hoping for the best at this point.
Okay.
Hopefully there will be fireworks here in the next few weeks if things even out.
Okay. So it's sort of pending case numbers?
Yeah, exactly.
Will there be a financial loss for the town as a result of this?
Loss is a tricky word because we don't make any money on fall fair as it is, but there are some contractual agreements where we're still going to end up paying a little bit of money, but it's nothing significant compared to what the overall fall fair budget is.
Okay.
I don't want to get into specifics there.
Mm-hmm. I guess that will come out in the wash eventually.
Yeah.
What about, you know, other events that the town is working on organizing? Obviously the recreation department has a number of things that are ongoing, And there's things like this, there's a film being presented on Sunday in collaboration with Mann Allison's Indigenous Affairs Department. Are there, will any other things be affected by you know, this decision to sort of be cautious?
Stay tuned. I'm not quite sure yet. At this point, I know Mount Allison is still pushing ahead with their events for the Truth and Reconciliation Week, but so we still plan on helping them out with hosting that movie showing. And the Vogue is, you know, they have regulations that they need to follow as well. So people would need to be double vaccinated and masked to go in there. And then the other ceremony we have coming up, I guess, is the Arts Wall induction ceremony. So we haven't made a decision on that one just yet. That'll probably come early next week. We're just trying to get through Fall Fair here first.
Okay. Have you heard much reaction from people so far in town?
Just looking at social media, it's been quite positive, actually. A lot of people were asking for it to be canceled. I know our mayor and councillors had plenty of emails and phone messages, and people on social media, I'm sure you saw, were suggesting that we should cancel the event. So, you know, making that decision to do so has been positive so far. I'm sure there's people that are disappointed. I mean, we all are. It's the top event of the year in Sackville, so I'm sure there's going to be people out there that are disappointed. But again, it's what we can do to keep people safe right now.
Two years running now that there's no fall fair. Maybe we're going to have to consider a winter fair.
Well, we do have Winterfest. That's still
True.
scheduled for February, so hopefully we can keep growing that, and with a little luck, we'll be able to make it a little bigger than we have in the past.
All right. Well, many thanks, Matt. And yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry for all the work you put into it that might not come to fruition this year anyway.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
That was Sackville Recreation Director Matt Pride. Many private events organized alongside the Fall Fair have also been canceled this weekend. Please check with event organizers directly to confirm. It's been just over 3 years since Greta Thunberg started the movement known as Fridays for Future, or sometimes School Strike for Climate or Youth Strike for Climate. Every once in a while, the call goes out for groups across the globe to join in a global climate strike. And today, students at Mount Allison are heeding that call. Student organizers with Divest Mount A are inviting people to gather at 10:30 a.m. today in the academic quad outside the R.P. Bell Library and make themselves heard about climate change. Kate DeRoche is a third-year student and third-year member of Divest Mount A. She dropped by CHMA Studios to share a bit more about today's protest. Kate, welcome to CHMA.
Thank you.
Tell us what you've got planned for today.
Yeah, so for this strike, we are going to be meeting at 10:30 in the academic quad, right outside the library. If you don't know, it's called the breezeway, like the space between Crabtree and the library. We're going to be doing some speeches and things there, doing some chants and stuff like that. And then we're going to be heading over to the Centennial Hall building. That's where the administration offices are. We're going to keep doing a couple more speeches and some more chants over there, just to kind of put that pressure directly on the administration by going over to that building in particular. Yeah, so that's what we have planned for the main event of the strike. Yeah, we're going to be doing some sign making and things like that leading up to it as well.
All right, so what inspired a global climate strike this Friday in particular?
Well, it is actually a global event, like organized by Fridays for Future. So that's like a couple years ago, Greta Thunberg started doing the protests outside the Swedish Parliament, and that's what turned into the Fridays for Future movement. So every Friday in a lot of places, people do things like this. But then a couple times a year, they'll have a global day of action that's meant for lots of groups to participate, even if you don't regularly do strikes on the Fridays, to still participate in the Fridays for Future movement. There's usually one around the end of September, I think it's, you know, people are back to school, had a chance to settle in, but are, you know, maybe joining environmental action groups and things like that on their campuses. So it's a good time of year to do that. Like before people get super busy with schoolwork and everything, it tends to be a pretty good turnout around that time of year. But yeah, basically the idea behind the Fridays for Future movement is to put pressure on institutions like government. So some people do protests outside of, you know, parliament or town halls and things like that. And also on institutions like universities. So in our case, we're protesting, we're trying to put pressure on the Mount Allison administration to divest and to take other steps towards climate action. So yeah, basically the idea is just to remind those institutions that we're here and to stand up for what we believe in and to really push for real climate action at all levels.
Now, you're with Divest Mount A, and Divest Mount A is really spearheading the organization of this, of Sackville's climate strike. And that's my question. Is it Sackville's climate strike? Are you hoping to reach out and get people from outside campus to be involved in this as well? Like, how important is it to get that participation from outside the campus?
It definitely is important. We're, I think, not looking at a huge turnout from people outside Mount Allison this year, likely. In previous years, there's been more. Like 2 years ago in my first year, the Sackville Youth for Climate, the high school group, organized the strike. And it was a lot more people from the town were there, like people from the high school, from the university, and then people... like older folks from the town and things like that. But that being said, like people from the town are absolutely welcome. We would love to see other people there. We definitely want to get input from, if anybody from the high school wants to come and speak on behalf of their group, or even just come and, you know, add their voices to the crowd. If anybody from the town wants to come, they're absolutely welcome.
The more the merrier, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm going to spring this on you. We just came out of a federal election. This is just a personal question. You don't have to speak on behalf of Divest Mount A, but how did you feel about the climate policies put forward by the federal parties? Like, what were your thoughts? How did you feel about going to the polls?
One thing that I've found pretty exciting about this election has been, kind of seeing a lot more young people get engaged, and like, I'm not sure actually what the voter turnout for, you know, like Gen Z, millennial age people was. I know it's been fairly low in the past, but I know I've seen a lot of people trying to push to get it up and push people to get involved. And you know, like you see the NDP, for example, like Jagmeet Singh is doing a lot to engage that younger voter base, which I think is really good. And I think the NDP has a really solid climate policy compared to some of the other parties. And I think having that young voice there, especially, you know, with the global climate strikes happening, like that's mostly young people, like high school, university age kids. So I think there's a lot of passion and drive for environmental protection going forward. So I think I think there's a lot of hope there.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
On Friday, I'm assuming people are going to be there with signs. What do you think your key message will be? What are you going to write on your sign?
Oh, I haven't decided yet, actually. We as a group tend to focus on a message of climate justice, not just climate action. Like you see a lot about climate action, you know, take these steps to protect the environment, things like that. But at Divest, we definitely try and focus on climate justice, which, if you're not familiar with that term, it's basically like the intersection of environmentalism and social justice. So in a lot of cases, like, you know, you look at the fossil fuel industry, the actual practices of the industry disproportionately harm marginalized people a lot of the time, like building pipelines through indigenous territories, or like, you know, waste plants that are built near Black communities and things like that. And if you look at the climate crisis as a whole, a lot of the people who are going to be most affected are the people who have done the least to cause the climate crisis. So, you know, like people living in small island nations who are going to be really susceptible to sea level rise and increased storms and things like that. So yeah, globally and like within Canada, there's a lot of inequality there if you look at who is actually causing the climate crisis and who is going to bear the brunt of it. So yeah, in our organization, we definitely try to like highlight that and to uplift voices of those people who are going to be the most affected.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Kate. I really appreciate you joining us today. And so what time and where do we go?
10:30 at the Academic Quad right outside the library.
Thanks a million.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
That was third-year Mount Allison student Kate DeRoche in CHMA Studios. Today at 10:30 a.m., all are invited to gather in the Academic Quad outside the R.P. Bell Library for a global climate strike event.
What do we want?
Climate justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Climate justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Climate justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
That's just about it for Tantrum Our Report for this Friday, September 24th. But before we let you go, we have a little treat to help you start your weekend. You've Changed Records announced this week that Sackville musician Julie Duran will be releasing a new album on November 26th of this year. I Thought of You will be Duran's first new solo album in 9 years, though the artist, of course, has been at work on other projects in the meantime. Happily, you don't need to wait until November 26th to get a taste of Duran's latest creation. Here's the first song released from the album, Julie Duran with You Gave Me the Key.
There was never a plan. No need to explain. And here I am, starting over again. From the eyes of a baby, from the eyes of a bird, from the dark.